Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is your favorite host, Corinne LaFon from Between the Lines Empowering Network. Of course, you know this show is aired from Jamaica in the Caribbean. So we're coming to you from the beautiful island of Jamaica. And the show is aired every Monday and Wednesday. Sorry, I'm confusing myself, and I'm the host. Every Monday and Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, we invite you to follow the show. Just go to the episode page at blogtalkradio.com/empoweringnetwork. Today we're going to be talking about education. And we have with us Rich Korb. Let me just tell you a bit about Rich while we're waiting for him to call in. Now, Rich Korb has 37 years of educational experience as a successful educator working with difficult and at-risk students. He has taught both general and special education at all levels and has served as Youth Ranch Director of Education for Delinquent Youth. His experience in working with difficult and defiant students has led him to develop a wealth of practical ideas that teachers and administrators can put to use immediately. He knows what works and what doesn't work when dealing with disruptive and defiant students. Rich is also a sought-after presenter and author of Motivating Defiant and Disruptive Students to Learn and Powerful Strategies for Working Effectively with Difficult, Non-Compliant Students. Rich is an adjunct faculty member for Seattle Pacific University, where he teaches a course in how to work with defiant and disruptive students. Rich will be doing a giveaway today. Let me just make sure that I'm saying the right thing. I think he's going to be doing a giveaway today. I don't know what that would be. So it will be fantastic if you guys can either call in or listen in or text in to be able to benefit from that giveaway. Yeah, that will be a cool surprise. I myself will be surprised. So the topic today will be Firm and Fear with Purpose, featuring Rich Korb, an educator who has been dealing with a lot of difficult, delinquent, at-risk students. And, you know, these are labels that we place on students, and that's one of the first things I'm going to be asking him about, these labels. You know, why do we label these students, and what are the characteristics or features that distinguishes difficult, at-risk, or delinquent students from, what would you call the opposite now, quote-unquote normal? I don't know what the opposite would be. Because you don't want to give the impression that one group is abnormal and one group is normal. So I'm looking forward to having Rich on the line. He's here now. Let me bring him on. Hey, Rich, welcome to Between the Lines, Empowering Network.
Hi, Corinne. Sorry for the late call.
That's all right. I was just doing a little intro on you, so we're going to go straight into it. One of the things that I was speaking about while you were not here is the whole idea of these labels that are placed on students. You're dealing with difficult, at-risk, delinquent, disruptive students. Why do we place these labels, and what are the kind of characteristics or features that distinguishes them from, I don't know what to call the opposite of those students. Do you call them normal? You don't want to have one group saying abnormal and one group normal. Help us to understand that.
Well, what it is it's a as they grow and kids develop, you know, they go through different stages of life, as we all do. And I think because people as adults get frustrated with kids, they want to throw a label on the child instead of trying to understand, you know, where that kid's coming from. And so, I mean, they might have been traumatized as a youth, and, you know, maybe as an infant, and, you know, call them a bad kid or they're this or that. And I think, you know, that's a very, you know, an unfortunate thing to do for children. And when we label them, then we lower them in our eyes. And so we need to start changing what we're saying and elevate, you know, those kids into, you know, and well, they're going to feel secure to themselves as well. So it's really all about relationship building, and nobody likes to have negative labels placed on them. So we need to start working on understanding their growth development, where they are in growth, and then raising that standard by changing out the labels so that we understand where they're at in their growth.
That's a fantastic statement, and I like that explanation because I'm a parent myself. I'm sure. Are you a parent?
Oh, yes.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Older,
how many
older
kids do you
now,
have?
They're all, Well, we have 3 adult children and we have 6 grandchildren. So,
wow, you're full of them. You're full of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, and during my career as an educator, I figured I was a surrogate parent to over 4,000 kids. So I know a few things.
Well, yes, when you have 4,000 kids, I would think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, you mentioned the fact that children are traumatized. And
we
were once children at one point. And somehow it seems as if we forget what it is to be a child, and then we come about being parents and end up, I would think, we are the ones traumatizing our own children. We are the ones that are creating these labeled kids, deviant, delinquent, and we don't really know how. Is it that we need to start with us as the parents, understanding what is required of that responsibility of being a parent before we could be a parent? Where does it really start?
Well, you're right. It's the parents, you know, that perpetuate the problem. You know, and I can honestly say, you know, for myself, when I was young, you know, I watched my parents, as we all do, and you know, there were certain things that I identified with in my parents. I said, okay, I like that. I'm going to do that when I become a parent, and I have. And then I saw things that I didn't like. I said, I would not do that, and I haven't. And so it starts when we're young in how we approach, you know, how we see life and we look at adults. But as we become an adult and children start to act up, for example, we have grandchildren, and that makes it very difficult because they're not our kids. They are our children's kids. And we want to say things, but you feel like you really probably shouldn't. So you have to ask permission to, you know, engage with the child so that you don't step on toes. You know what I'm talking about? And it's really, the adults really have to step up. And when I see adult behavior being modeled that is unacceptable, you know, for a child, they're not mature enough to understand what adult behavior is. And so we have to guard what we're doing around children. If we don't guard that and they start to act out, if we get angry at them because they're acting out and they're only acting out what we've shown them to do as parents, we really dropped the ball. We set them up for failure. They're going to fail. And then we jump on them, we get mad at them, and put labels on them, like you said. I mean, that it starts with the adult. We really, you know, they're only going to be with us for those developmental years between the time they're born till, I'd say, you know, right around pre-adolescence, somewhere in there. So about 10 years, you know, we need to really focus on giving a very solid, nurturing environment for those kids. You know, it might be that we have to put aside some of our own interest, some of the things that we like to do, and say, you know, I can come back and revisit this 10 years from now, but I have a responsibility to this child while they're developing.
Wow. Rich, you're touching on a topic that I'm extremely, extremely passionate about, education and parenting. Because it's a never-ending story. It's a never-ending saga. You know, because I'm thinking when I'm listening to you talking that a lot of us as children growing up with our own parents have our issues. And yes, we do look at things and say, yes, we're going to take that. No, we're not going to take that. And we make those decisions and decide what we're going to pass on to our own children because we know how we felt when we were being raised by our own parents. But sometimes things perpetuate and We don't mean to, but we see a lot of ourselves and we even hear our parents talking through us, passing down to our kids. It's amazing, you know, that even how we recognize it sometimes is when somebody says, you sound just like your mother. Your mannerisms are just like your mother. And we when we look at our own kids, too, when we are parenting, we say these things to our kids and say, you're just like your father. You're just like your grandmother. I'm seeing that.
Right.
So we start to place the labels even before they become defiant. And then the kids become defiant because they don't want to be labeled as, I see you just like your father. And so they start acting out the behavior and characteristics of the father, because you told them this is who they are like, or this is who they will become. You know, it's a funny thing, and I'm saying you are working and training children, young people. Isn't there supposed to be a school for parents, different parents?
You know, I have worked with a lot of parent groups, and that's, you know, part of what I do. And, you know, parents really don't have a lot of training coming in other than what they've, you know, observed through their own, you know, development.
There's no parenting school, Rich. Where is a parenting university? I've never heard of any.
There isn't, you know, and what we have to do is start thinking about, you know, what makes sense and what we have a real dilemma in our world today, and it seems like we've got a situation where whatever is culturally acceptable is the way we're supposed to train children, and the culture across the globe is shifting to what seems to be, I'm going to use, you know, the word morally right, and that's a very vague term, a relative term, that you know, what is morally right and what is morally wrong. And I think when it comes down to our own families, we need to make sure that we convey to our children, I know society says that it's okay to talk like this, to use this language, to behave this way, to dress this way, to treat, you know, people this way, but in our house, no, we don't do that here. And, you know, we have to hold them to the fire on that and say, no, that behavior is not acceptable in our home. I know at your friend's house where you go, they do those things, or you go to school and those things. No, but we don't do that, and I expect you to do the same thing when you're not at home. You need to behave the same way that I'm training you. And that's the responsibility. And yeah, there's a lot of books out there, but you can get really turned around and confused because everybody has their own philosophy on how to raise children. But I think that, you know, as a parent, whether you are, you know, an adoptive parent or a foster parent or the biological parent, whatever the situation is, you need to sit down and with your child, and you need to explain. And I have a formula that I use. It's called a 3 + 6 = 1. And the three.
3 + 6 = 1, Rich? Rich, that math doesn't work out too well, you know. 3 + 6 = 1.
Well, let me jump ahead real quick. The equals one means you have to establish a place where they can then talk to you in safety and comfort. There has to be that one place where you agree to sit down and talk. But the three and the six, those are all preliminary steps to establishing how that's going to happen. So when the child goes sideways or the child thinks the parent's gone sideways, they have to say, I need to talk to you. And you have this you have this predetermined place where you can sit down, and there is going to be a good conversation, no yelling, no arguing, no finger pointing. Just, you know, let's go back through the 3 + 6 and talk about those things so we can get to the one thing. And that one thing is, how can we work together? How can we talk to each other and understand what's going on? You know, and people can get that formula, you know, from me if they want to go to my website. The website's pioneereducationconsulting.com. It's all one word. And they go to that, and the 3 + 6 = 1 is there. Or they could email me at rich@pioneereducationconsulting.com. And then I could, you know, get to them and help them out with that too. So I've given away many of those formulas. I give them away for free. You know, people can ask me for one, and I'll get them one.
I love that. So, because before, in the introduction, before you called in, I was saying that you're going to be doing a giveaway. What is it that you want to give away? Is it that you're going to be giving away that formula, the 3 + 6 = 1, which mathematically does not make sense, but
but it does when you go to look at the pieces, and it's actually the behavior, it's a desired behavior changing formula. That's what it is, the desired behavior changing formula, 3 + 6 equals 1. And if they'll, you know, email, you know, to me, then that, I can get that out to them right away. I do it all the time, and it's huge.
But you're dealing with a lot of students, a lot of young people. Let's call them young people. And what I noticed, Rich, is that, I mean, we are probably from the same era in terms of time, in terms of birth date, mm-hmm. and so on. There's a big gap. And what I'm noticing with a lot of young people now, they're more enterprising. They're more risk-taking. They're not afraid mm-hmm. of trying new things. We, in our time, were more told, no, be sure about what you're doing. You know, we were held back, and we had to be careful, and we didn't take much risk. You know, only very few of us probably would have at the time. But the majority of us didn't. We did the safe thing. Nowadays, the kids are willing to fail and get up back again, willing to fail and get up back again. They're willing to try new things. They're more creative and stuff like that. And we may see that as defiant behavior. You know, we may see the things that they're expressing, their whole creative expression, as defiant behavior. How, when you talk to these kids in your sessions and in your training, what are some of the things that they say about parents that they want to see change, or they want to reach them on that level? What are the issues that you hear coming out from them as young people?
The one thing that comes out, and it's part of that formula, and it comes in the sixth piece of that, the 3+6 in the mm-hmm. sixth area, is the paraphrase. They want to know that you're listening. That's the key,
okay.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
want to know that you are listening, and the way they know you're listening is you paraphrase back. So when
yes.
the child says, you know, I don't want to go to church today because
mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
like the kids there. And then
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, so I think what I heard you say is it's not going to church that's the problem. It's you don't want to go there because of the kids. And
mm-hmm.
if the kid comes back, your child comes back and says, yeah, that's right. I don't mind church. I like going there, or school. I like going there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the
mm-hmm.
kids. The kids are bothering me. Okay, this
mm-hmm.
opens us up for a discussion and then into
mm-hmm.
problem solve. So what are the kids doing? Talk to me about what the kids are doing. Then they tell you
mm-hmm.
what they're doing, and you say, and then you paraphrase back. Hey, I think what I heard you say is they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And if the child
mm-hmm.
says, no, that's not what I said, you have
mm-hmm.
to learn to back up and not get offended and say, okay,
mm-hmm.
what is it then that I missed? Help me understand. I'm trying to figure this out. Because
mm-hmm.
remember, we're not living in their culture. We are living in
yeah.
a culture 20 years removed from where they're
mm-hmm.
at, because now,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've moved on. And so we have to think about, okay, what is it that's bothering them? And I hear that
mm-hmm.
more and more from kids. You know, I wish my parents, I wish my grandparents,
yeah.
I wish my friends would just stop and listen to me. And
yeah.
they don't
yeah.
always want, the second thing is, they don't always want our advice. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They
yes.
they want
yes.
us to listen. So
yeah.
we have
yeah.
to ask for permission. And parents, that makes
mm.
that makes parents and teachers really mad. They'll say, I don't have to ask for permission. You know,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
have to ask
yeah.
for permission. You know, I'm the parent. I'm going to just tell them.
I know,
you know,
I know
what,
it all. I know it all. It's for me to tell you,
yeah.
not for you to tell me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
the
and we can learn a lot from young
all.
People. But we could learn a lot from young people, Rich. It's amazing if we just sit back and
yeah.
listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
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 Communication. You're talking. Yeah, you're talking patience, the ability to be patient. And a lot of us parents are not patient to be able to do that
right.
whole mirroring technique where somebody says something to you and then you say it back to them or paraphrase it to make sure that it's what is being communicated. And everything comes really down, you know, all relationships. I mean, even in marriages and so on, it comes down to
mm-hmm.
communication. The ability of
right.
one person to speak, the other person keeps quiet, listen, and say back the same thing just to make sure that you understand the message that is being communicated. Wow. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it
no,
sounds so
great.
Simple. It sounds so
right.
simple,
and
Rich,
piece.
And why is it so difficult?
Well, here it is. The third piece, I'm glad you said that, because it's about forgiveness. Here's the thing.
Mm.
Confession of guilt is the first stage in healing any relationship. So
wow.
if we make a mistake, we have to be willing to admit that we made a mistake. And honestly,
mm.
and I'm not talking about saying, hey, I'm sorry. You know, no, we have
mm-hmm.
to use the words like, I apologize for,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. whatever it is. We have to,
mm-hmm.
just flip
mm-hmm.
blanket, we have to make sure that they understand that we are sincere. You know, I make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and never put it back on them. Say, you make mistakes and I make mistakes.
Wow.
Because now you just put it back on them. They shut you down. They don't want to hear I made mistakes. They already know that. What they want to hear from you is you're willing to admit as an adult, I made a mistake. I apologize and I'm going to work really hard to try not to do that again. And
then walk away. That takes maturity, Rich. That takes maturity. Not a lot of people. That takes maturity, and it speaks to confidence in self, because you're not afraid to admit that you're wrong. You're not going to be defensive. You know, it speaks a lot of things about the characteristics of a particular individual. Are they willing to open themselves to that, be vulnerable to that, to saying, I am wrong? Because it means then you can probably tell them, give them advice or suggestions. And some people just not open to that. I am always right. You know, I know everything.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't
leave room for growth or to build a relationship.
Yeah, it hurts. It blocks everything. And, you know, progress stops with children, with anybody. You know, your boss, your spouse, whoever.
So your book, Motivating Defiant and Disruptive Students to Learn, also will give that 3+6=1 formula as well. And so persons can get a copy of your book. Where can they get a copy of your book? Is it available only on your website, or can they also get it on Amazon?
They can get it on Amazon. They can also get it through Corin Publications. They are the publishers of the book. It's Corin, and they can call them or email. My website, they can get it. Yeah, like you said, they can get it pretty much anywhere. Amazon, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, because I saw it on the website, and the guy really looks, I mean, the book cover really looks like a, you know, somebody with his long hair drawing down his face. It's like, oh my God, I'm
you
so
know,
sad. Nobody's seeing me. Nobody's noticing me. Nobody's listening to me. I'm just,
Sure. Well, actually, that picture is really funny, because Corin put that together. And they drew that picture up, but that actually is almost an identical image of a great kid I had in class for years.
Wow.
And when I saw that, when the book came out, you know, and the cover was on there, and, you know, I got a hold of him. And I said, hey, who does this look like? And he couldn't believe it. He goes, how did you get them to draw my picture? I didn't know. I approved of the cover, but I didn't even think about him until that came out.
So tell me something. You're an educator. You're a teacher. You're dealing with these children that a lot of parents don't even want to deal with themselves. I mean, they bring them into the world, or they may foster them, or they may adopt them. But you are the one having to deal with them. And a lot of teachers, let's call them quote-unquote regular normal teachers, because I can't find any other word for them. Not that you're abnormal. But it's just that regular teachers don't like dealing, or they don't know how to deal with. What makes you so strong, so decisive in going into that area that a lot of people run from? What does it take?
Well, I think in reality, I could have been one of those kids. You know, there were things that transpired in my life that that caused me to choose a different path. I didn't go down the path that those kids have taken. And because I could have been one of those kids, you know, doing the drugs, running around, causing problems, and doing those, I could have easily done that. And I chose not to. And because of my nature, I understand those kids, and I can tell them there's another way. You know, you don't have to make that decision and go down that path. You know, I'm a person of faith. You know, I have a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, and I just, you know, I made a decision to go a different direction, and that's why. That's how I can relate to those kids, because I could have been one of them very easily. I have two sisters that went that direction, and they paid the price, you know, and I didn't. And so I haven't paid that price, because I didn't make those choices. So
yeah, and it's a choice. It's a choice you all have to make, and you want to be able to reach out to them to let them know that there is a choice. And you know the thing about it, Rich, is that a lot of these young people are so brilliant. These are the people that they find that are so brilliant and has so much potential that they don't even know how to channel it. And a lot of our parents out there, including ourselves as parents, don't recognize the energies that these kids have nowadays, that we need to put them into activities to help them to channel that into something positive. Is that one mm-hmm. of the strategies that you would use with your kids as well?
I do. One of the first things I do when I get with a group of kids is I have them fill out what's called a student interest survey. And I ask them, mm-hmm. if you had all the time and all the money in the world, what would you do? Then they tell mm-hmm. me some important things. And I ask them, how do you learn best? You know, by hearing, by seeing, by listening. Talk mm-hmm. to me about mm-hmm. that. And so yeah. they start feeding me information right off the bat. And then, and depending on what grade level I'm working at, if it's a higher age group, you know, high school or so forth, I'll ask them, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of grade do you want out of this class? Do you want, or just to pass mm-hmm. the class? So mm-hmm. I collect information, and then once I have that, I can begin to work with them and understand a little bit more about where they're coming from. And mm-hmm. when things do start to go south, then I will look at that card, I'll pull it out, I'll review it, I'll look it over. Maybe I'll look at, you know, even before,
Rich,
always do, as soon as I get them, I look at them. Yes.
I love that. Before we get cut off, because I just got my indication that I have less than 60 seconds. So I
okay.
love that point you're making. I would love to have you back on this show because it is such a wonderful and interesting topic. So look out for that extra invitation coming from me. Thank you so much for the giveaway. And this discussion is something that would interest parents, young people, anyone who is listening, you know. And I really want to thank you so much for the time you spent today. And I want to encourage persons to get a copy of your book. I'm going to share those links on the episode page. And I'm going to be writing a blog post. I'm going to be writing a blog post that will be shared with you so that you can also promote it to your network. Thank you so much for sharing and doing what you
yeah.
do.
You're welcome. You have yourself a nice day. Thanks for having me on your show.